Hi, my name is Jesse Nowak. I am the operations director at DanceWire. Today is September the 12th, 2023, and I'm here with Antoinette Powell to talk about their life and career as a dance artist as part of our Artist Stories series. So welcome.
Thank you.
So what are your current titles?
Oh, my titles. I'm a performer, I'm an artist. I also am the manager for a dance studio. Sometimes I choreograph as well and do team performances like that. And I also am the founder of a Peruvian folkloric dance team.
Awesome. Can you give us a brief overview of how you got started in dance?
Yeah, so for me, I think a lot of kids always are forced to take dance classes or some activity when they're little. But for me, kind of stuck. Like when I first took ballet and tap dancing, I was like, oh, no, this is it for me. I want to keep doing that. And thankfully, my parents always took us to performance arts shows and stuff like that. And so early on, I knew I wanted to do dance. And then throughout school, I was part of all the dance teams and performance teams and stuff like that, and the theater team. And then when I was a teenager, I knew dance was going to be it. So when I went to college, I went to an art college in Peru, and I was debating between fine arts and dance and kind of did a little bit of both before we moved to the States. And then I took a break when we came to the States because, you know, it was a strange country and everything, and I didn't know how to continue that, and so I took a big break. But then once I moved back to Portland, I was lucky to find the dance community again and the dance studio that I work for now and pick up back up from there, and it's been really good.
Awesome. And you said you've been in Portland for 8 years now?
Yes, since 2015 now. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So what does dance mean to you or has meant to you in your life?
Yeah, dance is everything to me. I think, like I say, I started little, and so dance has always been a part of my life. And now that I'm 42 years old, I've noticed that it's just so important to my body as well as my mind and my community, like my social skills. I found that dance has brought me so much stability, mental, physical, emotional, the mobility that we need as humans, as we're aging, the community that dance gives us, going out and socializing, and then just the mind to just having to take classes and practice and make choreos, and gives this creativity to my brain that it's just, I can't compare it to anything else, where your body and your mind are working together. Mm-hmm. And keeping you healthy and keeping you active. It's just like, oh, dance is everything to me. It's very, very helpful and gives me a lot of joy.
Yeah. I love that, the mind and body working together. Mm-hmm. One of our core values at DanceWire is that there's wisdom in the body.
Yeah.
And I feel that in my own body, the connection between, like, if I'm stressed, I get pain in my body, mm-hmm. you know, and my body feels good when I'm in a good mental space. And yeah, if I had to pick one answer that we get the most consistently to that question, it's community.
Yeah.
Right.
Which you don't think about it at first, right? Especially when you're younger, you're like, at least for me, when I pursued it as a career or as a hobby or whatever, you're like, I just want to dance. I like music. I like moving my body. Right. But then you start taking classes, and then you start going to social events, and you're like, oh, you find community, you find friends, you find people that have, you know, this love for dance that you never even thought that could also bring you. You know, it's really nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Dancers are unique people.
Yes, it's a specific vibe. Yeah. People, I think a lot of people are afraid of like being perceived in the world, and so they don't move with confidence, and they don't literally move around. And so dancers have this specific gene or something in us that we don't mind. We like it. Yeah. We'll be moving. If there's a good song that even we've never heard before, we'll at least vibe into it, yeah, or something. Yeah. It's a specific personality trait for sure.
For yeah. sure. Yes. Yeah. Well, and a bit way of being in the world.
Yes, yes. Sometimes I feel like I can tell someone's a dancer by the way they walk. Something about them is like their posture or like their pace is like in a specific rhythm. I'm like, I think they're a dancer.
Yeah, right.
I can tell. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. So what challenges have you faced as a dance artist?
Well, as a dance artist who wants to be, you know, a professional artist, there's a lot of challenges for sure. There's the financial part. I think that happens for every artist in every genre. Trying to have a consistent career as an artist, it's so hard. You know, for me, this is my pro and my con, that I'm a multi, you know, disciplined artist. I paint, I cook, I dance, I perform, I do a lot of things. And all my friends are artists. So I see it throughout all different genres, right? That the mainstream in general doesn't support artists. It's just a given. This is not a career that's been supported for so long that it's hard to find the you know, steady income as an artist. I think the pandemic was a little bit of hope when everything shut down and people realized the little things that they took for granted. And art was one of them. Entertainment and art and dance and movement and all these things that were like, oh, yeah, I didn't realize that we needed artists, you know. And that was one time I was like, yeah, exactly. We've been doing this and we do this for free and we do this for out of love and passion. And, you know, and now we can't do it because, you know, things are shut down or there's concern to socialize, there's concern to go out of the house. And people realize, you know, when they started doing little videos, it was like people singing out of their balconies and, you know, dancing from their house and stuff. They realized that art is super, super important. But still, it's not supported financially. It's not supported in other ways too. Like, sometimes it doesn't have to be financial support, but support, period. Like, support, like, share, your friend has a show, you know, post about it, tell your friends about it. It's so niche still that it's only artists supporting other artists often, I feel. Especially in Portland, I see that it's very artist heavy, which is great that we have so many events and so many schools and so many things. But a lot of times, and I attend also shows and stuff, a lot of times I feel there are more artists than audience and supporters and stuff like that. And it's a little bit bizarre how even this many years later, even after the pandemic and all that, we still don't get the support as a respectable career. And that's the biggest challenge, I feel, is the support mm-hmm. from the mainstream to see it as something that is like, yeah, this is their job. Oftentimes you say, oh, I dance, I perform, or I cook, or I paint, and they think you're talking about a hobby.
Right.
And they're like, oh, but what are you doing? I'm like, that's what I do. This
right.
is what I do. And people don't click. People, they still don't see it as like, oh, you're a professional artist. And even if you're struggling, right? Like, yeah, like... That's a thing people do.
That's a thing people do. Yeah.
And that's, to me, I feel like the biggest challenge in general, but for me especially too, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that silver lining from the pandemic is so interesting that there were some really beautiful things that happened in the pandemic mm-hmm. art-wise. And I've been thinking about that a lot, but I hadn't thought about the vacuum that was created.
Yeah.
And... oh my gosh, there's nothing for us to go out and do. Like, we're going to watch dance on the TV screen, which just mm-hmm. isn't the same. It's
yes.
not the same. So, yeah, I appreciate that perspective. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, when, like, you know, this is a different art, but movies and TVs stop, right? And people didn't realize until the pandemic, like, a few months in, they were like, oh, they're not making more shows. Because that's what all people were doing. Like, they were stuck in their homes. They were watching TV and playing music and stuff like that. But, like, that's when they realize, like, art is happening around us, but we just didn't realize.
Mm-hmm.
And now people are not being able to do it, and it sucks. Like, people don't like when there's no art,
yeah.
but they don't realize until it's gone.
Until it's gone.
I yeah. know, it's
yeah.
sad.
So I'm going to pick your brain a little bit. Apart from financially supporting the arts, obviously that's, like, the very obvious, like, financial
yeah.
support. What other ways do you see that the mainstream could support the arts better?
Yeah, I mean... I think sharing, especially in an era of social media is so accessible. It's at the palm of our hands, right? And people don't share enough projects from their friends and family already, I think, in general. But usually art is the last one that they share and promote. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you can attend, and that's fine. But, like, you can tell, hey, my friend is performing. My friend has this art exhibit. My friend is making... this craft purses, something, I don't know. and they don't share enough. And to me, social media, you know, especially for my age, a lot of people my age don't really utilize social media, I feel, mm-hmm. the way I do. But younger people do it, and I feel like there's something there that could be utilized so much more professionally, you know, where I learn about even the dance studio that I found out, the shows that I find out about, all everything that is art related, I find it through social media. Mm. But I find it on my own. I have to dig and do searches and ask around versus what's already being shared and promoted. It's never art related. Mm-hmm. Is finances and is this new business and this new restaurant fitness. That are, you know, a corporation opened, but it's like, what yeah. about the one chef that, you know, needs the support locally? Yeah. You know, it's always something, and that's just how life is, that the mainstream and the corporations always win, you know. But supporting in general, even if it's not financial support, but just the support that can get the financial support. Mm-hmm. It's also very, very helpful. Like, maybe you can go to this show, you can afford it, or you don't have the time, but maybe your other friend can. Mm-hmm. Or maybe someone who has a business that might be interested in then hiring this person later on might be interested in seeing what this is about, you know? And mm-hmm. so that network of continuing the sharing the information, that's also very valuable. Yeah.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Okay, what people, resources, and opportunities have helped you the most?
Oh, I'm going to go back on social media, I feel. Social media the most. I think the sharing, the learning about new things has been so, so helpful. You know, Google does only so much nowadays. Like, you can Google whatever events are happening, whatever art things are happening, dance studios, dance shows, dancers locally. But you'd only get so much on like an internet search versus social media, you know? And so I think that's been very helpful for me to learn more myself, take more classes, new workshops, who's in town, who, you know, a lot of artists that I take dances from, I'm sorry, classes, dance classes from are from out of town, right? So I only find out through social media, you know? So that's helpful. Shows and stuff like that through social media, that's been supportive because I'm supporting others, but that's where I meet other people that then support me, you know, in return, or that I connect to collaborate later on. So that's been, to me, the most helpful. And obviously my dance studio, I think, you know, it's been such a big part of my life. I started as a student 7 years ago or something. So that's kind of what kicked my whole career now. And I'm also, you know, the manager now, and so is my daytime job. But they're also just as people, so supportive and helpful and nice to the community. They do so much for the community that I think I wouldn't be where I am now without them, you know?
Yeah. That's awesome. So this is a 3-part question.
Okay.
So what stage do you feel like you are at in your career? How do you want to move forward? What goals do you have?
Yeah, that's a good one. So right now, and we were talking about this a little bit before, there's a bit, I feel like a little bit of, rediscovery era of what era I'm in to begin with because of the pandemic. The pandemic, I think, made a lot of changes for everybody, right? So right now, I'm trying to rediscover what's possible, what's not possible. You know, to piggyback on the second part of the question is that, you know, I have a lot of goals, right? All the 3 parts of the question, I feel like, are related. So my goal is to have a big, big performance of traditional folkloric Latin American dances. That's my main big goal with multiple cultures. I would love to be Latin American, but it doesn't have to be. You know, it could be Indian, it could be other, but all folkloric dances. That's like my dream goal. That it's not gonna happen this year, next year, maybe it's a 5-year goal, right? So to go back, to get to that point, I'm trying to do smaller events and try to promote smaller Latin American and Peruvian dance teams who do folkloric dance teams. And so more immediately, my era right now to make that happen is discovering and rediscovering what's available for those kind of events. Right now I'm learning that there's a lot of, you know, businesses that closed down because of the pandemic. There's a lot of people who are still, you know, not going out because of the pandemic and concerns like that. There are businesses that are, you know, that try to survive the pandemic, and they did, but now they're still, you know, a little bit behind, so they're deciding to start to close down now, you know, even 3-4 years later. Same with the dance teams, same with the venues, and with the, everybody involved in events like that is still kind of resetting. It's like a reset era right now. So all my previous goals before the pandemic was like, it was just to have the dance team. That was the goal, and to have a performance every year with the dance team. Right now, I'm resetting those goals because of the community and the pandemic and the concerns and what's available and what's not available. So I'm in a reset era right now. To answer the first question. And then the goal is to start pursuing, within maybe 2 years, pursuing and connecting and collaborating with as many folkloric and traditional dance teams locally, or maybe throughout, you know, the Pacific Northwest. That's my goal for the next couple of years, and try to help them to support it. My team is a nonprofit, even though I haven't been able to utilize it more. So I think I have a little bit of an advantage there to support other teams that want to do stuff like that, that haven't had the support. So I want to be able to, in the next couple of years, focus on that. That's my focus for the next 2 years. Folkloric dance teams locally, Latin American or, you know, world. Mm-hmm. Dances. And then the big dream goal later on would be to have like a big performance at a nice venue, a nice theater or something like that, you know, where it can be maybe a couple hour show of like around the world, you know, dances. That's like my dream.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
I know.
I'm there for that show.
Yeah. I haven't seen anything like that in Portland, you know, in the previous places I've lived. Yes, there's a lot of that, but not in Portland. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen anything like that. I've seen smaller events at markets or small venues or other art events, and they have like a little segment of something folkloric from one mm-hmm. country. I've never seen it like a big one with several dances right. from one country and then another country and then another. I that's like my dream.
Yeah, that would
I
be
would
so
love
cool.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm going backwards a little bit, but that like delayed fallout that we're seeing from the pandemic is just like now I think the arts are really, really feeling it, where, you know, maybe there was some government funding or whatever mm-hmm. it was that helps arts organizations and, you know, artist groups get through the pandemic, like truly has dried up now.
Yes.
And so, you know, and I think your like moment of reset is a reflection of what's happening.
I think so.
Just, you know, even to the city and mm-hmm. like, you know, all of the things feel like they're resetting. I like that resonates a lot. Cause I think
yes, but I didn't realize until like pretty recent, like this week maybe, because I was driven. I was like, because my project started right before the pandemic, right? So the pandemic hit and I was like, okay, well, it is what it is. And so once things started to get better, I was like, I still had the drive to pursue it. I wanted to pursue it. I want to do this. I want to do that. And then I saw this couldn't happen. I was like, okay, let me do, then try this other thing. Let me mm-hmm. try this other thing. And I've been trying with a lot of drive of like almost forcing things to get the momentum going.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, you know what? No, I don't think that's what's happening. It's not a momentum right now. I think it's a time to reset, restructure, see what's available. Because what I want to do could be X, Y, C, right? But with what's available is A, B, and C, then it's not going to happen,
right.
No matter how much I force it.
For sure.
So I was forcing, I think. And so now I'm like, no. Let's reset. Mm-hmm. Let's see what's available. Let's restructure and see what's actually possible short term, even if the end goal is still the same. Like short term, I think I need to reset a few things.
For sure. So how hard is it balancing administrative work with your own artistic pursuits and training?
Oh, that's funny. It's funny for me because I do the administrative work at my dance studio. You know, but it's not my dance studio, I should say, but I work for them. So it's funny because, and I don't know if this is my ADHD or what, when I do admin work for others, it's no problem, right? Like, I'm ready. I have the time slotted in my day, right? I have it all scheduled. And I get paid for it. So it's like, no problem. I could do it, right? and they love my work, that's what I'm doing, and that's not a problem. But when it comes to my own projects, it's a drag.
Yeah.
I never want to do it. You know, you get more excited about doing a new choreo, even though you don't have to, but I'm like, oh, you hear a new song, it's like, oh, I want to do a choreo to this new song. For no reason. You don't have a project, right? But it's just like, you know, your creative brain is like, oh, let me do that. Instead of checking emails and scheduling this and meetings and stuff like that, it's less creative. And I think as dancers and artists in general, we like the creative part more, which is, you know, we gravitate towards that, which is fair and it makes sense. But unfortunately, going back to the support and the finances and all that, unfortunately, admin work is so important.
Yeah.
And so, it's a drag. I don't know how else to say it, you know, like even though I'm able to do it because I see it, I do it every day for a dance studio, right? Mm-hmm. I know I'm capable of doing it. It's just not the same, especially when you don't get paid for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, that gets you gigs and that gets you this and that. But when you break it down, let's say per hour, if you broke down how many hours of admin work you did for this one project, it's just zero probably an hour. You know, it's just not fulfilling necessarily. Yeah. So it's a hard balance. It's a hard balance because you gotta take it more as an investment, see it as an investment. Like I'm investing, I'm putting this in for my website, for my email, for my social media, for networking. But then, you know, you take out later on in mm-hmm. gigs and networking and the fulfillment that is hard. You know, we do it because we love it.
Yeah.
You know, it fulfills our soul more than anything, than our pocket or whatever, yeah. right? So it's hard work. It's not hard work. It's just...
It's a drag.
Yes. It's easy work that you don't look forward to, right?
Yeah.
But you have to do it. You have to do it. And, you know, and this is also why I wanted to do a nonprofit and I wanted to do more, quote unquote, professionally or more officially, is because, like, the goal is, like, once we get it going to where it's, like, financially stable, I could hire people, right, that could do the admin work. And that's the goal in general, and I didn't talk about much that, but... The goal is to be able to pay everybody involved, right? When we do the performance that I've done before, like, right, with folkloric teams and stuff, we get paid just a little, like a very little fee. That doesn't cover really anything, right? Our costumes alone are so, so expensive because they're made by hand. Sometimes they're blessed by specific shaman in the community. We're not even getting them from here. We gotta go to our home countries to get them. So like this takes like hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of dollars, right? To get just costumes. Then you add rehearsal time. Then you add paying the studio, right? Booking fees. Then you add all the admin work. Then you add all these things. We don't even remotely get paid for any of that, right? So the goal is to have a nonprofit that at least pays that, right? Like we don't want to necessarily make money where it's like, oh, we're millionaires from this. Like it will never happen to begin with. But we want to pay back at least that. Like everything's coming out of pocket. And any person that I know that's folkloric dances at least, right? And this may be true for other dances as well. Latin dances as well, actually, I'm involved in that as well. We paid all our pocket. The costumes for Latin dances are not cheap either, right? And we're all paying out of pocket to dance locally at a Mexican restaurant and stuff like that because we love dancing. And we don't make any money. We go out, right?
Yeah.
Trying to just dance and do something that we love, you know? So that's the goal, to have something that we can get grants and support and funding, is to at least pay that, you know? And so with admin work, that will be included as well. If we can have someone who gets paid for that, I feel like that's motivation enough to get it going.
Yeah.
And also writing grants and also, like, you know, networking more and having more, you know, a stable, consistent present online and in social media and in the community and organizing mm-hmm. events, you need a lot of admin work.
Yes.
Yes.
So you need
I need to clone myself, which my bosses say all the time, like, how do we clone you? I'm like, you know, I've been trying all my life. I need a me that does the admin work,
right.
And a me that does the choreos, and a me that does the traveling and gets the costumes, you know?
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
I know.
For sure.
I know.
So how would you describe the current dance scene in Portland? What's fabulous and what needs work?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know if I can speak for all of Portland, but my niche, right? I feel, and that's also that ties to what needs work, is that Portland is very heavy on artists, which is lovely and fabulous. And there's so many events happening, especially in summertime. There's so much art happening, which is great. And all of those questions tie together, right? But I do notice a lot, not only when I perform, but when I attend also as a patron, right? There isn't enough audience. Sometimes there's more artists than audience. I see it at parades, I see it at shows, I see it, you know, and a lot of things that I go to, it's like a lot of artists of all levels too, right? Like there's really pro people out there that need support, and there's newcomers that are, you know, wanna get into it too, but not enough support. And so it is fabulous if you're an artist and you're doing it because you love doing it. Yes, Portland can be great, and I think it will continue to be great for the next 10 years and forever probably. But what needs work is the support. There isn't enough support. There's a lot of, and the more niche, the less support you get, which is, I think, just what it is, right? But there's a lot of, for example, Black, Indigenous, and artists of color who have shows and have classes and have, you know, very niche genres of dance and art that is not mainstream, for example. And so people don't support it. They don't go to the classes, they don't go to the shows and stuff like that, right? But that's in general. That doesn't have to be specific to those groups. But I see it there because that's where I try to support the most. And we struggle even more than other shows, right? Like I go to other shows, even mainstream shows, there are nights where they have less of an audience. They don't pack house every night, right? So yeah, I see it like, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know how we can fix, you know, a town with so many artists to get the support. I don't know what the answer is, but I do see that it's more heavy on the artists themselves than the patrons. And I see it now, and I think it will continue for some reason. I don't know how to fix that, but there's gotta be something where it's like, maybe people from out of town come to Portland. I don't know. I mean, if, you know, New York City, for example, not to compare it, but like a lot of people come from out of New York City into the to go to Broadway shows, right? Like they make that trip to support that. Something like that. I don't know what could be like that where people come to Portland to where the artists are to support them. That would be ideal. Like that would be something that needs to be worked on somehow. I don't know how, but yes, my dream would be that everything's packed house every night, no matter what the artist is, no matter what the genre is, dance or whatever or not, you know. If Portland have packed houses, every show would be a dream. I think that's what Portland dreams of too, but we're not really actually there, you know. It's very, I see it with the dance studio, for example, where we get new students all the time, which is great, right? But with performances too, actually, people, as soon as they take a few classes, they get very, very excited, and they are artists themselves in other backgrounds, and so they want to pursue it professionally, almost immediately. They took a few classes of something, and now they want to teach, and then they want to perform, and they want to put on a show and stuff like that, which is fine, and I think it's great as an artist myself to like get that, like, excitement about a new genre, a new art or something. But that creates a, like an overflow of artists doing the same thing instead of supporting what's already there and happening. You know, there's a lot of older artists here in Portland who stopped doing art because they're like, you know what, I don't get the support. And then this new person came and started doing what I'm already doing. I have been doing it for years, and because maybe they're better at social media, or because, or just because they're new and people want something new, they start supporting them, you know. And so I don't know how to solve that either, but I think that's something that also needs to be worked on. It's like, how can we support the original and the older artists that have been doing it for longer and are not getting support, instead of starting new things that, you know, are not necessary in that moment when there's people with more expertise already doing it and needing the support. That would be something I also would like to see to be worked on. Yeah.
Almost imagining like an apprenticeship program.
Right.
You know, where like if you have that older artist who's really just, they're an expert in their craft, and somebody's like, ooh, I want to do that. Is there an apprenticeship opportunity there?
Yes.
Where it's mutually beneficial?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Right. That's what I'm saying. It's not that I don't want new artists to come. I think that
we need them.
That's when you need them to continue for decades and decades. But it's something about the lack of support.
Yeah.
Because if already the people who have like 10 years more of expertise than you are not getting support, then what makes you think that yours is going to be, you know, it's going to take off? And they don't. And then they get flustered, and we all get flustered because it's none of us is getting the support. So something like if there was some hub of like, who are the artists? What's the genre? What's the art? What is there to do and what they would like to do? And so people could go, they're like, oh, okay, so this is where it is. Let me support them. Or collaborate. You know, collaborations are so good.
Sure.
But there isn't enough, I feel, of that, especially multi-generational collaboration, right, of different expertises, social media, and then the expertise of then dance and stuff like that. And then taking off as like Portland is the place to go for artists to support other artists, and they put on art shows and consistently do this and consistently do that. There's no consistency, I feel, you know, because there's no enough. I don't know why that is, but I don't, and maybe that's just my niche, but I don't see enough of collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, consistently collaboration. Yeah. Yeah.
So you kind of already answered the next question,
mm-hmm.
but I'll ask it anyways if you want to add anything to it. So paint a really idealistic picture of the dance scene in Portland in 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if I could realistic?
No, idealistic.
Idealistic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pie in the sky.
Oh, yeah. That would be my dream is what I say, like if people came to Portland for our shows every weekend, you know, from anywhere in Oregon, Washington, you name it, you know, that would be a dream. Like ideally, I think, because Portland will keep attracting artists. It's just like the reputation that it has, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's all sorts of arts. Like we're talking about dance, but like the food here, it's amazing. That was one of the main reasons I came to Portland, right? And it keeps taking off, and we're getting more and more buzz about our food and our restaurants and stuff, right? So that's one art, like fine arts in Portland. Also, it's a little bit numb, but not enough. But there's a lot of great fine artists here. You know, dance, same thing. There's like a little bit more than other towns around, but could take off even more. And I think they're not taking off because it's not being supported, right? So ideally, if ideally people came to Portland on the weekends to like support art shows of all genres, oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
like sometimes I go to Seattle, for example, you know, and it's a bigger city and it has been, you know, more mainstream supportive for the arts, sure. But like if I make a 3-hour trip several times a year, like maybe every other month I go, right? I hope that people did that for Portland too. Like there's an art show that you cannot find anywhere else. No, we gotta make that drive and go, you know?
Yeah.
That would be ideal.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
For sure. All right, well, thank you so much for your time today, Antoinette, and for being open and engaging and, having this super fun conversation today.
Thank you for having me,